Even for an island that had its share of characters, Maybelle Stamper was a standout. When she arrived on Captiva in the 1940s, fewer than 100 people lived there year-round, and that suited her just fine. She'd paid her dues in the New York art world, then spent a few years teaching, and now she was ready to leave all that behind, to shed the politics and deadlines, the way she'd slip out of her clothes in the subtropical sun. A loner as a child, the island allowed Maybelle to indulge her passion for solitude as an adult. Yet as avidly as she sought it, Maybelle drew attention. How could she not? She was a strikingly handsome woman, lithe as a panther, a tantalizing mystery. By the time she arrived, Captiva was already a haven for artists and wealthy solitude seekers. Most famously, Charles and Anne Morrow Lindbergh, Gift from the Sea, was largely inspired by her time on the island. But also, it drew writer Edna St. Vincent Millay and sculptor Henry Moore. While they were there, they would hear about Maybelle and request to visit her, writes Amy Louise Miller in her master's thesis for the University of South Carolina. Maybelle was one of the sights, a role she detested. So she escaped whenever she could, darting into bushes if a car approached on the road, not answering her door if a visitor knocked. Those she did admit to her world, and there were a chosen few, learned to tread carefully. If someone did something Maybelle didn't like, she'd fire you as a friend, says fellow islander Sarita Van Vleck, who after decades of friendship with Maybelle got fired for forgetting to pick her up one morning for a dentist appointment. Never mind that it was June and Sarita was waiting for an air conditioner repairman. When she remembered 2 hours after the appointed time and went to Maybelle's house, Maybelle waved her away. She was through with me, says Sarita, who nevertheless still speaks of her friend with wistful affection. Some interactions with the outside world were unavoidable, but, much as she could, Maybelle withdrew into her inner one. Yet the very people she shunned made it possible for her to live as she lived. Because she eschewed the business of art, money was sometimes painfully tight. So her island friends quietly organized tea time or cocktail hour shows of Maybelle's work. They'd all come, buy a piece or two, as Maybelle watched uncomfortably. Before her dismissal, Sarita had helped Maybelle gather the necessary papers, then drove her to Fort Myers to file for Social Security. It was the sort of bureaucratic ordeal Maybelle dreaded. For one thing, it meant she had to put on shoes, but that small check meant she and her cats didn't go hungry. By the 1980s, Captiva land values had skyrocketed, and those checks couldn't cover her property taxes. Another trusted island friend, Marie Coleman, stepped in and paid them. Then in 1990, when Maybelle was 82, neighbor and fellow artist Robert Rauschenberg made a deal with her. He'd buy her place, she could stay there the rest of her life, and he would pay her living expenses. He asked his studio assistant, Pam Schmidt, to look in on her regularly, thus beginning a relationship that enriches Pam's life to this day. Not that it was always easy. In fact, Pam almost got fired once for suggesting she be allowed to stay all afternoon to finish painting Maybelle's house. But to do that would be to disrupt the feeding schedule of Maybelle's beloved cats, who were as shy as she was. She was so upset, Pam says. How could I not have understood? And you know, I did understand, and I felt bad. She was right. Maybelle was Maybelle. She was a recluse, and she had created a world small enough so that the tiniest thing could throw it completely off. But it was her world, and in her world, I had erred. As her eyesight failed, and she became more frail, her neighbors watched over her. The whole community was engaged in taking care of her, Sarita says. Parker Mills, the storekeeper, would take her food and leave it at her door. By any measure, they succeeded in keeping her with them until the end. No nursing homes or hospice for Maybelle. She died at home on the island she'd chosen 50 years earlier. Her friend, Pam, found her there, sitting in a chair. Later that day, after all the formalities, the EMS visit, the questions, the paperwork, Pam went home and took a shower. And I swear, she says, I heard Maybelle's laughter, a peal as clear as the day, a total, joyful, heartfelt laugh.